Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Kevin Fargelon.
I'm DM.
And today we watch two movies that couldn't be less similar.
Oh my god.
I don't know if it would actually be possible to find films with less in common than these two.
Well, we say that when we have something like this happen. And then we always find two more dissimilar movies. Okay.
You're right. This isn't the first time we've stumbled into this. I'm not going to argue with you on that one. So let's see how we do. But before we get there, it's time to talk about some random crap. Mm-hmm. So first off, yeah, I played the Zelda game and it's as good as everybody says it is. I'm not going to pretend I'm too cool for the Zelda game. Okay. It's boss as hell. Like, I really did enjoy it a lot. I'm only like an hour and a half, 2 hours in, but it's smooth as hell and it's super crazy. Like, I hadn't looked at any ads, I hadn't looked at any reviews, I hadn't looked at any gameplay. So, like, every bit of the game is new to me. And so in the very first place you go, temple you go to, you're like, here, you have the ability to stick stuff together with magic glue and just build whatever you want. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of neat, building whatever I want with magic glue. Thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the second temple they're like is, now you can use items to enhance your weapons. So if you've got a sword, you can pick up another item off the ground to turn it into, you know, a different kind of sword. And so when I first heard that, I'm like, oh, so like, give it elemental powers. And while you can do that, it also means you can just weld anything you want to onto anything else. Uh-huh. So it's like I had a stick and there was a sword lying on the ground. And instead of accidentally putting down the sword, stick and picking up the sword, I accidentally linked them. And now I had a stick sword, which is literally just a stick with a sword sticking at the end of it.
I'm like, that's so weird.
It's so, like, it is such a weird feature, and I kind of love it, and I'm looking forward to exploring it. But, dude, this is a very strange game.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to it going forward. And people are, I try not to judge people for this, but I feel like people are maybe way too horny for Ganon the villain and the strange ghost monster who helps you learn how to operate the world. People are very horny for these characters in a way that I'm like, guys, maybe you're going to taking this a bit too far.
Oh, is that ruining the fun?
Kind of.
Oh.
But the thing that I love the most, though, is, so there's this character, and I can't stress this enough. So you find Ganon. It's not really a spoiler. It's the first thing that happens in the game. You find Ganon under Hyrule Castle. And a dude is keeping him idle. This magic glowing arm is keeping him idle by keeping him, like, locked up by sticking some kind of moon power thing into his chest. Uh-huh. And so you arriving dislodges the magic arm and Ganon comes back to life and destroys the Master Sword, Link's signature weapon, and blows up Link's arm. So when Link wakes up, he now has the magic arm, and that's how he does all this stuff in the game.
Okay.
But here's where it gets weird. So the ghost is the guy whose arm you're using. So you're connected to him now.
Oh, it's like nice. Body parts.
A lot like body parts. Almost like body parts should sue. That's how close it is to body parts. I'm being sarcastic, of course, but you
it's a very good
any opportunity to talk about body parts you should take. All right. Here's where it gets weird, though. So he's a ghost. He's see-through. But he's also missing an arm. Uh-huh. But you can see his arm on the ghost him. But the arm is like, he's kind of light blue grayish. And the arm is full on just glowing light blue. And you're like, oh my god, his arm is a double ghost. Because he's a ghost, but he's also a guy with a ghost with a ghost arm. And his arm is literally a double ghost, and that's the best weird way to describe it. And it is such a strange visual. I'm obsessed with this guy's double ghost arm.
Ghosty guy and Ganon, are they like particularly hot in the game? And that's why everyone's
they're both ridiculously shredded. Like the extent to which these guys are shredded is off the charts.
Okay.
Well, oh my god. No. And it's like, and this is a dog guy with giant ears and Ganon is, you know, a monster orc, but just like absurdly shredded these two.
Okay.
And it's like, because the thing is, I don't even know. if I blame the fans for getting this horny for these guys, because they were designed to make people horny for them. And I'm like,
right.
It's just a weird choice in a Zelda game, is all I'm saying. But hey, you know what? Nintendo can do whatever they want. It's the best-selling Zelda game ever. The last untapped market was making people super horny for the villains, I guess.
I mean, people have always lusted after villains.
That's true. You're right. And they just want to get in on that money is the answer here. No, hey, yeah. I'm having a hard time judging them. All right. Okay, not as hard as I would like. Okay, so next up, I believe you watched a TV show.
Well, I'm watching a TV show.
Oh, you're in the process of watching a TV show.
Yes. Ooh. I have finally started watching Angel.
Oh, okay. Well, you're only 25 years late to the party of watching Angel. I want to point out that since Angel went off the air, David Boreanaz has made 24 more seasons of television.
Sure.
Just wrap your head around that.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch Bones.
One should ever watch Bones. I'm just saying, he did 16 seasons of Bones, and now like 5 seasons or 8 seasons or something insane like that of SEAL Team, all since Angel went off the air. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's good for him.
22 seasons of television, probably.
That's great.
Oh, no, hey, nobody works more steadily than David Boreanaz, and I'm happy for him. But I just think it's weird that you're only now watching Angel.
Well, I just, I guess back in 1999,
you were too damn busy.
Didn't care enough There's about also Angel that. To watch his show.
And now you've learned the error of your ways.
And now I'm like, you know what, maybe it's time. So I started watching it, and now I can't stop watching it.
Because it's perfect.
I wouldn't say that it's perfect, but it is enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
I like how Wesley is less of a tool.
Oh, my God. Wesley, how far in are you?
I am just started season 2.
Okay. Wesley gets better and better the entire run of the show. He starts, you know, a bit of a tool, and dude goes through some stuff. And that's all I'll say about that. But
I'm watching the show, and I'm like, how is it that Wesley and Cordelia are better at this than Xander?
I know.
And I just like, you know, I love to rag on Xander because he sucks.
No, he's the worst.
But still, like 7 years of fighting by Buffy's side, and he's no better now than he was when he started.
Yep.
Wesley and Cordelia have really kind of been on the sidelines of this fight and haven't really participated all that much.
Nope.
And they're already way better.
Well, it's almost like if you put in the work, you will get results. And Xander's entire problem as a character is he's never willing to put in the work. Because he sucks.
Because he sucks. I like Faith so much more now as a character.
She's
also
so much better here.
So much more interesting, yep. Honestly.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much more interesting here.
So it's just like it's a good follow through from the episode, the body switching episode on Buffy.
Yep.
You get the payoff for that in Angel. So that was really nice.
Oh, I know.
And then when Buffy shows up on Angel, she like in later seasons, Buffy becomes extremely sanctimonious.
Yep.
And just high roads everybody on all the time. And it's so tiresome. But it happens kind of a bit more slowly when you watch Buffy. But she shows up in Angel. And this
already
is season 4
Buffy. Already at 100 degree. Already at 100%.
She's not even that bad in her own show yet. Why is she like cranking it up to 11 on Angel?
Really good question.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Insufferable Buffy. Yeah, you know what? I'm not trying to turn that into a thing.
There was no
way that was going to go well.
Nope.
But yes, I'm glad you're finally watching Angel. Can't wait to talk about the rest of Angel with you. You've only got 4 seasons to go.
I have a huge bone to pick with you about this, actually.
Oh.
Why did you tell me Christian Kane was on this show?
Because I thought you had already seen it.
Why?
I know.
You knew that I didn't. I've never watched
it. I know. I keep forgetting. And it's the weird part is, at first I thought you had seen the show. right? Because you keep talking about Angel's Christian Kane. And then at some point I realized, oh my God, she's never seen Angel. And I just decided to wait until you got there so you would be pleasant surprised that Christian Kane is basically like the fourth cast member of Angel. He's on, you have no idea how much of Angel he is on. And literally, and this is a true story, literally just put in the pilot as a, for a one-line part, right? Mm-hmm. A one-line part as a sorry for not casting you as Riley from Joss Whedon.
Really?
It was down to him and the other guy for Riley.
Oh, he would have been a terrible Riley.
Oh, no, it wouldn't have been a good choice at all.
No.
But yeah, that's what it was. Wow. That's why he was on there. It was literally just a sorry we didn't cast you as Riley, right? And the result is we get his character on Angel, who they decided we like him so much, let's write for him, and, well, you'll see where that goes to.
Right.
I'm okay. Not going to say a word.
All that right, don't ruin it.
It's delightful. All right, so, can't believe Darla's back.
Yes. Where's that going? I just finished the episode where she keeps appearing in his dream.
Oh, wasn't that nice?
Yeah, well, I mean, Darla's not a great character, so no. She's not a good person.
She's really not, but it's a fun scene. Yeah.
But so Darla's enjoying
in many
Angel.
Ways the worst. All Sorry. Right. Yeah. Next up, I believe we have a quiz.
Okay. This makes me nervous.
It really should. Okay, here we go. Ahem. A group of young people are guided through an abandoned radioactive area in Russia. Actually, the Ukraine. In which 2012 film?
Oh, wait. Am I supposed to know this?
Well, we watched it for the show, so yes.
We did. Shit. What was it called?
I gave you a big hint by even reminding you what country it's actually
in. I know. I know it's, is it, does it have the word Chernobyl in the title?
You've got your half
Chernobyl
a point.
Chernobyl Diaries.
Yes! Oh, boom! You yes. did it! Again, these people who made these cards don't even know what country Chernobyl is in. That's not good, guys. What is the name of the possessed doll in Child's Play?
Chucky.
Yeah, I know. What hangs above Tina's bed in A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh, I'm thinking Tina Belcher. What? Tina's bed?
Yeah, she lies in her bed. And there's a very distinctive thing right in the middle of the bed over her head. And then, you know, she gets dragged around the wall and everything.
Aww. Jeez. When was the last time I watched that movie?
It's clearly been a while.
Yeah, right? It's not the glove.
No. It's actually no, it's attached
something in
to
her
the
room.
Wall. Yeah.
Oh, is it a TV?
It's a cross.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, cross right
over
there.
Someone does get pulled into a TV.
Yeah, that would be in part three.
Right? Yeah. Prime time,
yeah,
bitch.
Welcome to prime time, bitch. Yeah. fun fact, two different takes. One was... like ready for your big break in television and ready prime time, bitch. And they couldn't decide which one they wanted to keep, so they just put both of them in the movie.
Why not?
Because why not? In the 2006 film Silent Hill, what sound signals the transformation of the town into a nightmarish dimension?
Siren.
All right, air raid siren. Yeah. Nice. Tony Todd is known for playing which character in this horror trilogy?
The Candyman?
See, the problem is he also played the same character in the three Hatchet movies.
I have completely forgotten about those.
Well, he did. So it's like, this is such a bad question. Because you say titular character. And then boom, right. Candyman, because he played Dr. Whatever, Dr. Zombie, in the first three Hatchet movies.
Well, here's the thing, though. Who remembers the Hatchet movies?
Okay, you make a strong point. You are right, though. In what 2008 movie, just jump in whenever you're ready to answer.
Okay.
What 2008 movie starring Bradley Cooper...
It's been a midnight meat train.
Yes, I mean, of course it's midnight meat train.
I'm just waiting to see if you keep talking.
Why would I keep talking? Bradley Cooper was in one horror movie ever, and it's, well, two, but in 2008, and it's called Midnight Meat Train. I don't need, like, I'm not going to condescend to you.
You do that all the time.
I do actually do that all the time. I'm a terrible person. All right. Okay. Next up. First off, five out of six.
Did I just go?
Five out of six. You missed the crucifix.
Oh, right.
But I mean, fantastic work overall.
Pretty good.
Almost no notes. Seriously. Two thumbs
up. Almost.
Almost zero notes. All right. Let's get to the next thing, which is a list.
A list. Yes. Okay. So today's list comes to us from globalcitizen.org, which is a new one.
I shouldn't laugh. I mean, there is a 99% chance this is a website created entirely by AI just to get Google Ads money.
Possibly, but I'm not entirely sure what's going on here. The list is in English, but the header and like the little, like everything else on this webpage is in French.
Oh, so you're reading me a French list?
No. It's in English.
The header's in French.
But the header is in French. And let's see. The footer is also in French. Everything else on this page is French.
It would not surprise me. And maybe, I could be wrong about this. It would not surprise me if the thing read your IP address and automatically formatted the website to French, just based on where you live.
But then there's a button here that says Français. I can turn it all into French if I want.
Oh, no, but I'm saying the default. I could be wrong. Maybe it's just a French
website.
Anyway,
it's just
something I've just been thinking about AI a lot because I saw my first AI generated list and I'm like, oh, here we go.
Right.
Oh, this is not good, everybody. The poor list makers are going to be out of a job.
Right.
I mean, we're pretty hard on list makers here, but they deserve the work. I don't want to see them put out of work by a computer.
They're putting in the work.
That's what I'm saying.
Some of them aren't doing a great job of it.
Many of them are not doing a great job.
Right.
But at least they're trying, is my point.
I suppose.
Even if I find the results of their work extremely trying.
Oh, my God.
I'm ashamed of myself. All right, hit me. Go.
You should be. Okay. So this list is from 2016. Bear that in mind.
Okay.
And it is the five best and five worst movies about contagious viruses.
Okay.
Okay, so we start with the best. Number one, I Am Legend. Really?
That's not a very good movie.
That's your best? That's the best you can do?
Also, are you sure it's not the fifth best?
I don't know. Number five.
It's probably the fifth best, yeah, and then it'll count down to one. Okay. We've talked about this before.
No, but this isn't that, like, Screen Rant crap where we can't figure out which order.
What the hell they mean. Well, no, we did finally get an answer on that one because they did it by years one time. No, scores. By scores on IMDb. So it was counting. It had been counting down this whole time. We did finally get an answer on Screen Rant. All right.
Okay, number two, I have to see Americana, because the second one is Shaun of the Dead, and that's a great movie.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Is it a virus in Shaun of the Dead? Like,
well,
do we ever establish
zombies.
What creates the zombies?
Well, here's the thing. Like, the person who wrote their people, three people who wrote this list, the people
three
who wrote this
people?
List, yes, oh say it's a zombie virus.
Okay, I honestly don't know if it's a virus in Shaun of the Dead.
No, I think just zombies show up and... It's zombies.
Yeah. The film is woefully unconcerned about, well, not woefully, I would actually argue appropriately unconcerned about the origin. It's just 100% in I Am Legend, like, what is it? The herpes virus creates, they tried to...
It says cancer cure turned virus?
Yeah, they turned herpes into a thing to attack cancer cells, and then it turned people into vampires.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I can't really explain how that works, but that is the plot of the movie. They are correct.
Don't care how it works. My bone to pick is that if I'm looking for a list about viruses, I don't want zombie movies.
That's fair.
Right? Give me viruses.
100%. I want a movie about viruses.
Anyway, okay. So next one is in fact, a movie about viruses, but I didn't like it. It's 28 Days Later.
Oh, 28 Days Later.
I don't like this movie.
I'm not a fan of you.
Yeah.
I will never get over the story from the DVD of 28 Days Later that they, like, got to the point where...
they realize that...
the whole third act of their movie doesn't make sense. So yeah. They stopped at production and wrote an entire new third act.
But they storyboarded the original.
Oh, yeah. You can watch it. You can watch it on the DVD.
And someone realized, I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's not possible. You can't
replace all of the blood in somebody without it ever coming in contact with the infected blood.
It just can't happen.
No, we're draining his blood at exactly the speed as we're putting the new blood in, and the two bloods are never touching each other.
No.
What the hell are you talking about?
Right? You drain it out of his foot and you put it into his head.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Now I get that. All right. That makes Then, you know what? Now that you say it like that, that actually makes sense.
Duh.
I've been wrong this whole time. Sorry, 28 Days Later.
All right, number four.
All right.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, I mean, that is about a killer virus. There you go.
Was the virus still out there, or is it about what happens after the virus?
No, this is Dawn, so... Oh, wait, no! Wait, which one is Dawn, which one is Rise?
I don't know. I haven't seen any of them.
Okay. Yeah, they did a really weird naming thing where, like, Rise was the one about the virus, but then Dawn was already Monkeys Are Running the Planet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very strange. So I think
makes sense to me.
Well, no,
that
but Dawn sense. Should be, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes should be how it all starts, and then Rise should be the apes taken over.
No, I think it makes sense to have Rise first because this is how it begins, and then a new, you know, the sun, like a new dawn breaks. That's what I'm trying
I love
to say.
How you're trying to say
on a world
the sun rises, you know. Yeah, like you're like the sun rises, you know, after dawn. Yeah, the sun does rise after dawn. That's my point.
No. I meant to say a new dawn breaks. I realized when I said sunrise, I'm like, oh, I'm undermining my own point.
I know. That's what I enjoyed. I 100% enjoyed you undermining your own point.
Oh, language.
You're challenging, especially in English, which objectively has too many words in it.
Oh, way too many.
So too many. All right. Next up.
Okay, number five from the best is 12 Monkeys.
Oh, I love 12 Monkeys.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, very much
a
pro.
I should watch it again.
You totes should. Very much a pro 12 Monkeys podcast, this is.
Uh-huh.
Like, we love those monkeys. We love that fun performance by Brad Pitt, which was considered to be a bit of a departure for him since he was playing a supporting character, which he did not do a ton at that time.
Well, was this before or after California?
After California.
Okay.
But let's face it. You watch The Marketing of California. Would you know that David Duchovny was in that movie, or would you think that was a Brad Pitt movie?
I mean, I haven't seen The Marketing for California.
Trust
I've just
me,
seen California.
It's very much, you know, all about promoting the fact that Brad Pitt is the star of that movie. Brad Pitt and Juliette Lewis. Also, David Duchovny and Michelle Forbes. People forget the two of them. All right. Next up.
Okay, now we have the worst, the five worst. Number one being World War Z.
Yeah, that's not good.
And like, don't give me a zombie movie. Read the book. The book is amazing.
I know. Ugh. All right.
Okay, after that, The Happening.
Not a virus.
Virus.
No zombies, no virus. Keep trying, though, List. Keep trying. How do you get that
then we
so
have
wrong?
Number three is Pandemic.
What is Pandemic?
Which is a three-hour TV movie that appeared on the Hallmark Channel in 2007. Oh my God, we have to watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, we love a TV movie.
We do.
We don't do a lot of Hallmark Channel for obvious reasons.
No, but it's like we'll never get over Stonehenge Apocalypse.
That was sci-fi.
I know, but I'm just saying for TV movies.
Oh, for TV movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we don't do Hallmark very often. I remember they tried to do their first horror movie, and it was also their first horror. That was also the first Hallmark movie to not have a writer.
Oh.
Yeah, it was an experiment for them. They did a horror movie, and it had zero credited writers.
That's so strange.
Yeah, it's really weird. They tried to make a movie without writers. They're like, well, we, the producers, figured out what the plot was, and then we just kind of worked out what the actors were going to say and what sets we would need on a day-to-day basis. And you might say, that sounds terrible. And by all reports, it was.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. I'm morbidly curious about them trying to
cut writers.
So
maybe we should watch that in Pandemic, and that will be like our Hallmark episode.
That's a really good idea. All right, let's jot that down.
All right.
All right.
Make a note of it.
Next up.
Okay, number four is Cabin Fever. Okay, proper virus. Got it.
100%. A well-known real-life flesh-eating virus.
Indeed.
But.
But, yes.
Oh, wait, no, this isn't a list about pandemics. I was just about to say it's very limited.
No, this is a virus.
It's just a virus movie. Yeah, it's just virus. The fact that a bunch of these have been about pandemics. So I got a little. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My bad.
Okay. Number five. I was going to ask you to guess, but you're never going to guess what number five
wait,
is.
Wait, wait. Give me 1 second.
This is a worst list.
Worst list. Number five. So the absolute worst of the worst. This is a tough one. Dead Alive.
No. Oh, why would anyone put that on a worst list?
Because this hasn't been a good list so far, I think is my rationale.
It is Shivers.
Shivers!
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which I don't think I've seen.
I've seen Shivers. Fine.
I don't think I've seen... Anyway.
What does it say about it?
It says... They can't even name the director. They just wrote, the Canadian directors, plural.
Yeah.
Of this film, decided on Shivers as a title, not before originally naming it Orgy of the Blood Parasites.
Yeah, because that's what it's about. Sex-obsessed blood parasites. We've all seen the movie.
So I'm like, why can't you just say it's David Cronenberg? Everyone knows who that is.
Maybe it actually directors that we don't know about? Was there a secret second director of Shivers who also worked on Shivers?
Anyway, come on, website.
Just say Cronenberg. It's fine. Unless the AI is very uncomfortable using people's names, and it used up all of its ability to put in names by crediting this to three authors, so we wouldn't know that it was secretly AI.
Right. They're just racist against Canada.
That actually prejudice against Canada would be far more likely, I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to say, though, viruses really are a fertile ground for making horror movies about, as this list have shown. I know dozens of good ones that they didn't even put on here, which makes me wonder, are they going to keep making movies about viruses? You know, horror movies?
Yeah, probably, but I can't tell you for sure because this week's upcoming horror movie is called Horrorscope.
Okay, that's very clever.
Got it?
I got it.
Put that one together?
I did. I figured it out.
Okay. All right,
what is Horrorscope about?
Follows a group of college friends who, after getting their horoscopes read, begin dying in ways connected to their fortunes. Are their fates fatal, or can they change what's written in the stars?
Okay, love it. No notes. Fate's fatal. You've won me back. You've won me over. Didn't like the title, but you wrote fate's fatal, even though that's what fatal means. Like, that's literally what fatal means. So this is the opposite of being clever. But anyway, please continue. I'm obsessed now.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, you don't know anything about it?
What do you want to know?
Who directed it? Who's starring in it? When can I watch this movie?
Okay. So this is based on a novel from the 1990s of the same name.
Okay.
From someone called Nicholas Adams. I'm hoping it's YA. Because it's nothing better than YA horror from the
90s. Oh, 100%. No, it's my favorite genre.
Okay, written by Spencer Cohen and Anna Hallberg and directed by Anna Hallberg. These names don't mean anything to me.
No, me neither.
And it comes out next summer.
Okay, well, I'm very excited to check it out. Horrorscope.
Horrorscope.
Love it. No notes. Okay. now, in many ways, to speak about the opposite of things that I love with no notes, can we start talking about our first movie tonight?
Oh, yeah, let's get this over with. Our first movie tonight is Pearl. This was not even a pick, a suggestion. I told you it was there and we decided we should watch it, even though we should have known better. Because we did not enjoy X. This is the prequel to X.
Yep.
And it's real bad.
And as is so often the case, it really does feel like you kind of like, because we had a lot of problems with X. But I will say this. I would have found X less problematic had I watched this first.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah. Because I would have right away understood exactly what was going on with everybody in X. Because in X,
but
like
she doesn't
I said,
make her entrance in X until like the end of the movie. It was like, oh, that's who's killing everybody.
She kills a guy like a third of the way into the movie.
But you don't know it's her.
Yeah, you do. She walks right up to that dude. Remember, he sees his girlfriend having sex with that guy, and then he walks out to storm off in the car, and then like she just stabs him a bunch while Don't Fear the Reaper plays.
Clearly, I don't.
Yeah, and then her husband kills the. shoots the guy with the shotgun, and then
okay.
I remember this movie better than you do, obviously.
I do. I guess I think the only thing I really remember was that she had a naked guy hung in the basement, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand how or why.
Yeah. And well, and I said that one of the things that would have made the movie more interesting as I watched it is like if this really had been, because it's all about her sexual frustration and her only valuing herself based on her appearance and the fact that she's old and withered now and she's full of hatred and hates these young people because of it. And so it would have been it's kind of interesting that it's like, it's just this situation where the most unlucky possible people wound up, mm-hmm. right, renting this place for the thing because it was the exact thing that was going to trigger her murderous rage. But then at the end of the movie, she's just been raping and murdering dudes in the basement for years.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, so this really is just a random story about, you know, having the worst possible place to rent to film your porno. You just got unlucky and rented a serial killer's house. And that's much less interesting because now the movie isn't saying anything about the value that we put on sex and, you know, what happens to women who are, you know, told that the only value they have is their appearance and their sexual desirability. Now it's just a movie about a crazy woman.
Yeah, but if you'd watch this movie first, Pearl doesn't do anything to suggest that that's what the potential message
is absolutely.
In X, because in Pearl, she's just a fucking crazy person.
But that's my point. Because X ends with
it
her just being a
X
fucking crazy
person.
Well, no, it would. This is my point. Because at the end of X, it turns out that Pearl was just a fucking crazy person, right? At least that way X would feel like, hey, remember that fucking crazy person from Pearl? Here's what she got up to 70 years later or 60 years later or whatever.
But the story in Pearl isn't any more interesting than the story in X. It's real boring.
100%. No, but I'm just saying, if X is the movie that it is, it works better as we talked about, because we rewrote and explained how X could have been a much better movie. And what I'm saying is, had it just been the movie it was, right, it would have been better as a sequel to Pearl than as its own standalone thing. That's all I'm saying. But you're right.
Okay.
Obviously, neither of them are good, but it would have been more satisfying as a sequel to Pearl. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if I agree with that,
and that's
honestly, because I don't think that Pearl sets up anything interesting for X.
Just, you know, where this crazy lady came from, the fact that she's, like, been befriending.
But we don't know where she comes from. This movie doesn't give us anything to hold on to or to take with us into a viewing of X, other than that, oh,
she's
she
always
just
been
likes
crazy.
To kill people. She's always been nuts, and that's the end of the story. It's like,
yeah,
you know, if she'd always been nuts, like, that's fine, but maybe her family could have known that she was crazy, and you only hear about it from her mother at the end. She's like, oh, I always knew you. There was something wrong with you. It's like, well, you never fucking did anything about it. Like, if they were, like, actively working against her, and she had opportunities to leave the farm, and she's told that she can't for whatever reason, that would have been something, at least.
Oh, yeah.
You can understand her frustrations, and then she vents them in very counterproductive ways. but no, we just have a crazy girl who wants to be a star, and she's stuck on this farm with an invalid father, an overbearing mother. Her husband's gone off to war. He may or may not be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And then she just sort of, she hangs out and kills people. And it's like, this isn't good storytelling. Never
it's,
mind
it's
the
really
fact
not.
that the movie it wants to be, I don't even know how to put this into words.
Like, I'm excited to hear you try.
It's trying to sort of replicate this, not even like the golden or gilded age of cinema, but a movie like from 1918 or maybe a few years later. Well, no, not 18. Later.
It's trying to look like the very beginning of Technicolor from the 1930s or 40s.
Yes. And it's just like, but it, and like this, you know, I think Tyler Bates and I don't remember the name of the person who wrote the score, they did a fantastic job recreating that sound, like what those movies sounded like score wise. But even like the way it's shot doesn't hold up. The colors are super duper saturated, but you could have softened it a little bit as well because, you know, all those movies are,
they're very gauzy. Yeah.
But they are very good. Like, you know, get some Vaseline for that lens.
Smear it all over that lens, baby.
And so it just like, you want it to be a movie like that, but you just, you couldn't get there you didn't capture the look and the feel. You didn't capture the storytelling, the kinds of stories that were being told at the time and the way those stories are being told at the time. Like, I didn't understand why you wanted a movie from the 20s or the 30s, because the movie's set in 1918.
Well, it's set in 1918 specifically because there was the Spanish flu going on.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why it's set in 1918.
But it's in service of nothing.
No, it's in service of the audience. You know, I get it. We get to have lines about people wearing masks all the time.
Who gives a shit?
Get it? I know.
We don't know. We don't need that.
No, we don't. Yeah, and she wanted
to. And it would make her. So how old is she supposed to be in X? Is she pushing 90 in X? Because.
Well, no, it's only 50 years later. You got to remember. It's only 60 years later. So she's in her 80s. Years. Yeah, she's in her 80s in X, I have to assume.
And it just like, I don't know. She's too spry.
She is very spry for an 80-year-old. But you know what? Hey, we don't know that serial killing doesn't keep you young. Maybe that's the secret.
You're right. I can't speak with authority on the health benefits of serial killing.
Just saying, putting it out there. Maybe it's possible. You don't know. No, it's I'm not going to fight you on this. Like, it is. I will say, just, I mean, as someone who enjoys watching movies, I enjoyed a movie being full of color for goddamn once. I enjoyed seeing bright, vibrant colors because, like, yes. I went back and I have been watching so many movies set in the past and all of them want to be sepia toned. I'm like, you know that movie, like, life didn't actually look like that back then. The movies.
The world wasn't color.
The world was in vibrant color. It's just they didn't have the technology to preserve it. So, like, Technicolor was trying to present the world as bright and colorful as it was, and that's what made people excited about it. Like, you're kind of ruined this for me, buddy. And I had that feeling when I was watching it, like, just feeling joy that I was getting to watch something that was actually in color for once. I enjoyed that. I'm going to pitch the same thing I always pitch, which is, I think it would have, if they had... Maybe I'm the one who needs to pathologize everything, but it's like, man, if they had made it clear that her dad had molested her, everything about Pearl's personality makes sense. 100%. Like, why her mother hates her, all of this jive, like, every single part of her personality makes 100% perfect sense if they had just made that clear. Kind of bothered me that they didn't, but that's me. Let's see. What was the other thing that really got me? Maybe I'm the crazy one for thinking this, but when I was watching it, I'm like, I gotta say, is this dude the most understanding husband in the history of husbands? Because I want you to wrap your head around the fact that they, after all the crap she does in this, and he comes home to find her parents both murdered and his sister mysteriously disappeared all this time later. They stay married for 60 years.
So this is going to be my question again, because I very clearly don't remember much about X. So they do go to Europe and she does become a dancer or something like that, because she talks about it.
Yeah, like they ran off.
X, and there are photos of her. Yeah.
They ran off to Europe, I think, to run away from all of the murders she had committed.
Right. Well, since you love finding meaning in the meaningless, I suppose the argument could be made as like, well, this is how he deals with the trauma of war.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. So he's irreparably damaged because of what he saw in the trenches.
And so
he comes home to find his wife is a homicidal maniac. It's like, oh, you know what? I can deal with this fine. Like,
yes, because it gives him a way to cope with all of his trauma. There you go. And it's like, I'm so much more interested in Howard's story than Pearl's story. Because it's a dude right. who comes back from war and finds out, oh, by the way, you married the craziest woman in the world. And how do they end up staying together? Like,
yeah.
And going to Europe and like having this life. I'm like, that's a little more interesting than either Pearl or X. Just putting it out there, guys. If you really want to crush it, Ty West, get us Howard. Just putting it out right. there. All right.
But then I feel like he would sort of like take that and shove it up its own ass. And
well, that is his brand.
He, it wasn't always as bad. That Western he made was pretty good.
What was the Western?
I don't remember what it's called, but John Travolta's in it and Ethan Hawke. It's a good movie.
I don't remember. Did I not see this?
I don't know if you have.
I might not have seen
it. Definitely this. Told you about it.
Yeah, I think I didn't see it. Ugh.
Right. And Ty as much West. As he didn't enjoy everything about The Innkeepers, at least it looked amazing. It had movie, great. Yeah, Mizan said this movie doesn't have that. I think he might have lost his touch. I don't know.
Yeah. No, this does not have the startlingly good look, but it's got a couple of fun fantasy sequences, and it's got what is legit a couple of fun fantasy sequences. If you like gore, it's got some okay gore. Not great gore, but definitely, you know, okay gore. And like I said, it's just nice seeing a movie that's in color for once.
I stand by my statement that Ty West is a huge creep, because like who's hanging out with a girl that he likes and decides, oh, you know what would be fun to show her? Porn. Let's show her some porn and see how this goes. And of course she's into it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, no.
Well, absolutely you know, not. Maybe things were different back in the 10s.
No,
I don't
Ty West
know.
Is just a creep.
Ty West does seem like he's a creep. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Not gonna disagree with that point, actually. Okay, so next up, we watched a second movie, and you may say, why did we watch this movie? And the answer is, no good reason, but at least we had some fun.
Our second movie is called Primal Rage. Don't be confused by the date on Prime. This movie is not from 2022 or whatever it says.
That's just when they got the rights to put it on Prime.
This movie is from 1988.
And, oh, wow, can you tell it's from 1988?
Oh, boy. Okay, so I will admit, I did fall asleep watching it. I was very tired. Yeah, so maybe I might have missed a little bit here and there. But more enjoyable than Pearl.
Oh, so much more enjoyable than Pearl. No question.
And quite honestly, not what I was expecting.
No?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right, so hit us with it.
So, right. Oh, yeah, I did synopsize this. A break-in at a campus lab leaves one man infected with a highly contagious and super gross rage virus.
And, I mean, you hear that and you think, oh, it's 28 Days Later. It's a prequel to 28 Days Later. Right. It's the only thing you can think. But it's really not at all.
Not at all.
It's a completely different kind of story.
And I kind of wish that Danny Boyle had seen Primal Rage. Like, you know what? I can do this and just make it better. And then, of course, makes it so much worse.
Oh, yeah. I honestly, it would not shock me if that is the story of this movie, that Alex Garland watched Primal Rage and said, I think I could do something with this.
I thought it was Danny Boyle. Was I wrong?
No, Alex Garland wrote it.
Oh, he wrote it. Right, right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
What do I know? Nothing.
Nothing, apparently.
Nothing at all.
But yes, it would not shock me to learn that, you know, because there's so many places that this has in common with 28 Days Later. The lab break-in releasing a monkey virus, and that's it. This is the only thing they have in the only part of the film where they in any way line up with one another. But still, they do line up in that way, and it's kind of neat to think about. But yes, it's weird because basically it is a movie that I guess is an attack on, if it's about anything, it's about the awfulness of campus rape culture.
Why does it have to be about anything?
I don't say it has to. I'm saying it is. The ultimate villains of the film are a bunch of frat dudes who are serial rapists.
Well, those are villains at the, like, they're present throughout the movie and they figure in the movie's finale.
Yeah.
But at the start of the film, it's this guy who runs this pharmacology company.
Yeah.
Who's putting pressure on this doctor to hurry up and develop his fancy new drug.
Yes, that is going to manage to cure brain injuries.
He's revitalizing. No, I think like
cerebral,
I don't know,
tissue,
like a cure
or something
for
like
Alzheimer's
that.
Or something, yeah, along those lines. And it's like, I feel like if this company was really that interested and invested in this dude's research, they wouldn't be pressuring him like this.
To the extent that they do.
Time.
I know. They're like, if you haven't cured Alzheimer's in the next 60 days,
right,
you're done. Like,
it's not how research works,
that,
my
that
man.
Seems a little hot, fast, guys. Yeah, I don't know if they can pull that off.
Right. And then there's all the horrible animal testing that takes place.
Yeah. Rats are turned into, rats are cured of their brain issues, which is nice. But then the monkey who gets it goes absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Leading to a laugh out loud, hilarious scene when like, and it's like when they shot this, they had to know how funny this was. Because there's this laugh out loud hilarious scene where the monkey is like goes out in the road and like gets splattered on the hood of a car, not the hood, the windshield of a car. Mm-hmm. And the doctor comes out to look at the monkey. And when he arrives, the monkey's face has been covered with a jacket. And he takes the jacket off the monkey's face and is like, yep, that's him. That's the missing monkey.
Are there other baboons
that's
just like running around university campus?
Exactly.
How many baboons have you set loose?
They had to know that was funny, right?
I don't know.
He takes the... There was a jacket over the face of the monkey. So people wouldn't have to see the smashed face. And he takes off the face and it's like, yeah, that's him. That's the monkey. Like, what? I loved it so much. And I mean, the rest of the film isn't funny, so... I don't know if the rest of the film was intended.
No, it's not. It's not
a comedy
at all.
It's not
a comedy.
It's not a comedy. But that one scene was very funny.
Yes. Yeah. And then it just gets... I know there's another scene that is... I guess it's more perplexing than it is funny. Yeah. So there are these friends. They work for the campus newspaper. One's a photographer. One's a writer.
Yeah.
And so the writer borrows the photographer's camera and breaks into the lab where this baboon is being tested on. This before the baboon breaks free. And he ends
this
up getting scratched.
This is in fact how the baboon
This is how the baboon gets free. And he ends up getting scratched. And so he contracts this rage virus that the monkey has for some reason. It's not clear why the monkey has this.
Well, they don't have time to do enough research to find out.
Anyway, so he gets progressively more sick over the course of the movie.
Yeah.
And at one point he takes himself to like the health center on campus and he freaks out and then out of nowhere picks up a
baseball bat and just attacks everybody.
Like, I'm like, where did that come from?
I know, right?
Yes.
So strange. And he's just attacking dudes all over the place with a baseball bat and running off. I'm like, this is a weird movie.
He didn't come in here with that. I don't know. And it's not like there's a baseball player
waiting to see his like knee injury or whatever. Right. It's just completely inexplicable the presence of this baseball bat in the scene.
Right.
But it's stuff like that I found weirdly charming in this movie. I found this movie more charming than it needed to be, you know?
Well, again, because I think it's because didn't know what we were getting into.
Yeah.
Thought it would be like, I guess, more exploitive, I suppose, because it's like sexy teens or, you know, and or rage virus, university campus. I just expected something a little bit more fast paced, I guess.
Yeah. Whereas it really takes its time with these characters and their friendships and like this guy worrying about his friends and his new girlfriend worrying about her friend who goes on a date with the guy with the rage virus and ends up getting bitten by him. And so she's going to turn into a rage monster too. And it's like, yeah, instead of having a giant cast of expendable people, it's just got like a couple of cast members who they actually take the time to develop and show are emotionally responding to the events that are happening.
Yeah. And like the virus takes time to grow in the body.
Yep.
And it is very gross and it's, you know, pretty satisfying.
Oh yeah.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the date rapists enter the movie and.
Cause you just needed some villains.
Well, you needed some villains, and I imagine that, I mean, a university campus in the 80s, probably, there was a lot of...
Plenty of date rapists.
A lot of date rape going on, to the point where these guys have, like a whole system in place to rape women.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it is institutionalized weird. Sexual assault. They have a room that they literally have only to drag women to sexually assault them.
Right, and it's got, like, yikes. A strobe light, and then they have these get-ups they put on when they're going to rape. So I'm like, what is going on in this movie?
This is messed
weird.
Up.
Weird. Yes.
Yeah, this is extremely messed up.
So the main... I don't remember anybody's name, but there's, like, the main character and then the roommate.
Unfortunately, they all say their name just a couple of times.
So. The roommate shows that she arrives actually late for the start of the semester.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I had an abortion, that's why I'm late. It's like, oh. Okay. But we're not going to go anywhere with that.
Nope.
But
and her friend, her new roommate's like, wow, I am not used to hearing people just say that. And she's like, yep, there's no reason I should be ashamed of it. So
right,
I'm just telling
you. You know, like, that's life.
And to which I say, damn, girl, you go.
Right on
out there
rage.
Crushing it. Yes. Primal
and then,
rage
later
going
on,
woke.
They're sat in... So... Riddle me this. So main character, we find out much later in the movie that her major is art.
Yeah.
What is she doing in that math class?
I don't know.
Right? Why are you taking this course?
I know. Maybe it's one of those colleges where you have to do like a general education in your first year before you select commit to a major or something like that. Yeah, I don't know why she's in this math class.
Anyway, so we get this math class and roommate has, you know, shown up for class and the professor asks a question of the people in the class and nobody can answer it. And then roommate answers the question. She gets it right.
Yeah.
And main character's like, how do you know that? She's like, oh, I have a 180 IQ. It's like, what is going on with this character?
Yeah, she's my favorite.
And again, it goes nowhere.
No, never gets a chance to go anywhere because she gets rage virus.
Because then she gets rage virus
and kidnapped by the rapists, and then viciously beats all of them, which is pretty satisfying.
Yep.
But then she gets, you know, murdered, and the evil scientist comes and wants to dissect her vivisect her to find out how the rage virus is working, and she's not psyched about that.
Right, but so you think like 180 IQ. You know there's something wrong with you. Put that big brain to work figuring it out.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Right?
It's frustrating that she did not have a chance to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Give us a little more from her.
Right.
We're really loving this character, and we would find it great if she got a little more to do.
But unfortunately, she then gets killed by one of her would-be rapists, so that's distressing.
Pretty big disappointment, I would say.
Yeah.
Considering how much we love this character. Because she's a very unique, very interesting character that you just don't see a character like this very often.
Yeah.
And so it's very sad that she didn't get a chance to, like, you know, continue crushing it.
Right? Yeah. No. So that's a huge bummer.
It is, because she's such a fun character.
And then the last part of the movie takes place at a Halloween party. And when, like... we're sort of building up towards the end of the movie. We're like, why is this center on Halloween? And then they include, it's like, oh, so all the rage virus people blend in with all the other freaks on parade at Halloween.
Yep.
Yep.
And they all get dressed up as skeletons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think the idea there is they want to assault women on Halloween and they don't want to be recognized.
Well, they clearly, I mean, they want to assault women all the time.
That's true. That is their raison d'etre.
And they don't really ever worry about being recognized.
Yeah. Again, so, quite an indictment of campus rape culture. Just putting that out there.
I think maybe they're dressing up as skeletons because they're all, oh no, because when did Karate Kid come out?
Oh, well before this.
So maybe they're just Karate Kid fans, although they're like identifying with the wrong people from that movie.
Well, they are villains. Why would they not identify right? with the villains yeah. in Karate Kid?
I think. So there you go. So I mean, anyway.
As I've learned from the wonderful Alex Jones podcast, Knowledge Fight, sometimes villains just identify with villains. Alex Jones literally spends all the time talking about how much he loves the Emperor in Star Wars and how right. the Emperor is a badass.
Right.
Like, sometimes villains know they're villains.
Right.
Like, and so it's worth mentioning. But yes, and then we get a scene that Robert Rodriguez cribbed for a little movie called The Faculty.
Which one?
When he crushes the guy in the
bleachers. Right. Okay, yeah. So I saw that. Oh, I'm watching this movie and the guy runs behind the bleachers. I'm like, oh, someone's going to get crushed in there. And then I actually did think of The Faculty, but I never put it together.
Okay, that's pretty fun.
Was just ripping off the other.
Yeah.
Entirely possibly came up with that on his own. I mean, who hasn't been behind a set of bleachers and thought, you could easily get crushed in here?
Yeah, but in my life, I've never been near a set of automatic mechanical bleachers. So, yeah. So I have personally never had that experience. I'm just saying, if there's one movie I feel like Robert Rodriguez has definitely seen, it's Primal Rage. He just seems like a Primal Rage kind of guy.
I mean, maybe he is.
Well, no, and I also like the weird amount of sensitivity that goes into the guy trying to help his friend and the friend being like, no, I'm virus zombied. You need to kill me.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
Right? He knows there's something wrong with him.
He knows that he's just going to keep doing monstrous things. He's just like,
well, that's the other thing, because when roommate, so at the end of the movie, main character and her boyfriend are being chased by the date rapists, who are also now
rage zombies.
Rage zombies. Well, then let's not call them zombies. I don't think that's fair.
That's not fair. You're right.
They have been enrageified.
Enrage-elated is the preferred term.
Enrage-elated? Okay, thank you. And roommate shows up and screams at main character to run away. So while you're infected with this virus and you're going through all these really disgusting changes, you know what's happening to you.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting.
And you still have agency. You're still capable of communicating complex thought. And I find that all really interesting, because normally in all these movies, when people get enrage-elated, they just go crazy. So it's interesting that you're still yourself, but you're not.
But you're just not in control. Yeah.
You know. So she screams at her friend to run away because she knows what's happening.
I'm going to say, this movie is more interesting than I expected it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, just like, as you say, the strange things, like the roommate character, like the fact that like these college rapists aren't just like regular college rapists, but like institutionalized racism, where they have a system for how they're going to abuse women. I'm like, all of these strange little elements that you just don't see normally in movies like this. So yeah, very, very happy with, I did not know what to expect from this movie. Very, very happy with it, and extremely happy with how it ends, which is the one thing I'm not going to say in case you decide to watch it on Prime. Because I think it's fair to say it's got a dynamite ending.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty solid ending, am I right? I was like, oh, that's what you want to see. And that's that. That's all I'll say about that.
I did really enjoy the party.
Oh, right.
And all the costumes at the party.
Yeah, that was nice.
I thought that was fun. Like, people really went out of their way.
Yeah.
To have some really weird and interesting costumes. One of which actually has, like, a pretty fun payoff.
I know. Yeah, there's some fun stuff in this. Like, they went to the trouble of making it super entertaining in a bunch of ways. And the thing is, I guess the way I'll describe this movie is, it's better than it needed to be. I think more thought went into it than they had to make the movie.
No, definitely a lot of thought went into it. It sounds like a terrible thing to say, but you wouldn't normally expect from a film like
this. This is what I'm saying. Like, I've watched a ton of these. How many movies have we watched here where these just cash-in slasher movies from the 1980s? We've watched literally dozens and dozens of these things, and this one actually put a level of care in that I wasn't expecting and was very happy to see.
Yeah.
So there you go. I think we're going to come across as saying we're very much pro...
Pro Primal Rage.
I know, it seems crazy. Also, Dynamite poster.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
Absolute banger of a poster. Like, no notes on that poster,
but
guys.
But, like, whatever you're expecting from the title and the poster, you're going to get something else entirely.
Yeah, I think that is the best way to look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, so much fun. All right. So that, as the kids say, is that. Now we're going to wrap things up with the real question. Do you have any narcissism to watch?
No, I don't.
Oh. Well, for me, normal stuff, Hidden Object Guru. Longest video ever is coming soon, so that should be fun.
Oh, how long is that?
Well, the audio for it, before I start editing the video, the audio is like 65 minutes long.
Oh, okay.
I know, it's way too long, but I played the quarry 100 times. And so I wanted to make a video about what I learned about the quarries, like the odds of stuff happening in the quarry if you play it 100 times.
Oh, okay.
So, look forward to a video by me, a guy with only a very basic grasp of statistics, talking about the odds of stuff happening in the quarry.
Oh, no.
It should be a blast and a half. All right. So that's that. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can stream all the episodes there. And you can leave us a comment and tell us about your favorite costume from the party in Primal Rage. You can send us an email, theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you're listening on an app, rate, review, subscribe.
I'm going to encourage you to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.